Welcome to the VK7 Amateur Radio News for the 29th day of March 2026, and this is your gateway to what's happening across the airwaves in Tasmania and beyond. Coming to you from the Tasmanian Amateur Radio News Desk is Justin, VK7 Tango Whiskey, with the latest updates, stories and insights from our amateur radio community. We're broadcasting far and wide from our dedicated team, which is DMR Talk Group 5 and D-Star Reflector 91 Charlie via the digital group. The HF relays are 1.862 MHz by Graham, VK7GS, 3.670 MHz by Ross, VK7ALH, 71.140 MHz by Gary, VK7JGD, 14130 MHz by Dale, VK7DG, and 28525 by Tony, VK7VKT. And locally in Hobart on UHF CB channel 24 and HF CB 24 11 metres with Mark, VK7FMAC. Missed it live? Well, catch the replay Tuesday, 8 p.m. on repeaters, VK7RAA in the north, VK7RHT and UHF CB24 and HF CB24 in the south. Stay tuned and enjoy the news and contest news, the John Moyle Memorial Field Day. Well, midnight on Saturday the 4th of April is the deadline for submitting your John Moyle logs through the vklogchecker.com website. Please note that only Cabrillo version 3 logs or the new Excel Cabrillo spreadsheet format is allowed, and you can upload or copy or paste the Cabrillo version 3 log. If you cannot do the above, then you can send a spreadsheet or Cabrillo log to the manager, but this is not the preferred method. Lance VK7TO has come up with a great log checker web app at the URL on the email edition of the broadcast. Thanks, Lance. And that's 73 from Richard, VK7ZBX. And Tassie statewide events. Well, Meet the Voice, which is today. Meet the Voice, Sunday the 29th of March 2026, commencing at 11 a.m. in Ross. The Meet the Voice trophy will be awarded, and there will be a car boot sale. Bring your items that you want to sell. It's a BYO everything event. Bring your Barbie, your food and drinks and socialise. Meet the voices you talk to on the radio. Any queries, contact Al, VK7 Alpha Nancy, on 0417 354 410. And that's 73 from Al, VK7 Alpha Nancy. And statewide SSTV nights, a quiet net night that saw the following participants, VK7's AX, ZGK, ZAB, OO and ZCF, all sharing around 30 photos. And the main themes were Tasmanian trains and the Newtown Railway crossing, a Commodore 64 computer technical manual from 1982. The first computer was owned by Adam and Eve and had one byte of memory. The 2026 Devonport Motor Show with vintage and compact cars, motorcycles including one with a straight six engine, three-wheeled motorcycles and a scooter with a sidecar. Other highlights were a POTA setup, an Australian-invented simplex auto telegraph sender Model 9. This photo had the call sign shown in Morse code. Having a bad day? Error 404 for no motivation found. Not worrying about the rest of the week after Tuesday. How to lift a heavy item. And 73 from a pair of sleeping cats. Again, Tony, VK7AX, interconnected VK7RJG to his SSTV International Gateway and the VK7's exchange photos with PC1K in the Netherlands. Please remember to leave a 30-second break between transmissions to allow the European countries a chance to send photos. And note, Ken VK7KRJ and Steve VK7OO's fully automatic 24/7 monitoring sites that allow anyone testing to send a picture and the ability to check their transmission on these pages almost immediately, anytime, both South and North Tasmania. If you missed the net, then there are archives of these SSTV nights on Ken and Steve's website or on the NTARC website under blogs. And that's 73 from Andre, VK7ZAB. And Worldwide Flora and Fauna SOTA POTA IOTA Weekly Wrap-Up. VK7 operators have been out and about over the past week with a strong showing right across the state and even beyond. Its official Nick VK7 Whiskey Whiskey has well and truly caught the parks bug. Heading out for his second activation, Nick set up at Brady's Lookout, an iconic site once used as a hideout by bushranger Matthew Brady in the early 1800s. From this historic location, Nick logged 12 contacts, worked 7 on CW and 5 on SSB. Jim VK7JZ ticked off 2 more activations from his bucket list. His first was Platform Peak, located between Gretna and Magra, and easily recognised by its large, distinctive cairn at the summit. Operating on both 40 and 20 metres, using SSB and CW, Jim made 21 contacts, and the following day, Jim activated Tim Shea Summit near Medina, where he added a further 6 contacts on 40 metres SSB. Al VK7 Alpha Nancy and Peter VK7 ZPE were also active, racking up a solid number of contacts during their activation of Skemp's Myrtle Bank Forest Reserve near Targa. Meanwhile, Phil VK7ID has been putting in an impressive effort across VK3, activating 15 summits over the past week and amassing a total of 215 contacts. Phil has been documenting his activations on his online blog, well worth a read. A quick search of his call sign on Google will point to the right place. And it's great to see VK7 operators continuing to get out, stay active, and make the most of the bands. 73 from Matt, VK7MAT. And QSL News, the inward QSL Bureau information. The current updated list of QSL cards held by the VK7 Inwards Bureau as at the 27th of March 2026 is in the email version of the broadcast. Do you see your call sign in the list below? Well, if you have moved QTH after the 2019 call book was published, would you please let Herman know so he can send out the QSL cards to your new QTH unless you have already made other arrangements to obtain your cards? You can email to Westyh, Westyh, or one word, at ozemail, ozemail.com.au. And that's 73 from Herman, VK7 Hotel Whiskey, manager of the WIA VK7 Inwards QSL Bureau. And news from the Northwest. The Northwest Tasmanian Amateur Radio Club bi-monthly meeting. The next club meeting will be commencing at 1:30 p.m. on Saturday the 11th of April 2026 at our usual venue, the Scout Hall, 73 Alexandra Road, Ulverston. Afternoon tea will also be held, and members are encouraged to bring items of show and tell, and club rooms are open until 6 p.m. for members to socialise. Brenton VK7HP is planning to show off his HF linear amplifier and associated power supply that he built back in the late 70s, early 80s, when he was an apprentice. And a small plate of afternoon tea would be appreciated. And we have tea, coffee, etc. available for members and guests, and visitors are most welcome to attend. If you have any cold or flu symptoms or are unwell or have been in contact with a confirmed COVID case, then please do not attend the meeting. 73 from Eric, VK7EV, the news officer, NWTARC. And news from the North, SOTA WWFF Parks Group. The Summits on the Air Worldwide Flora and Fauna Parks Group meets twice weekly, Mondays and Fridays, 10:30 a.m. until 12, at the Glebe Gardens Cafe, Henry Street, Launceston. And for more information, contact Al on 0417 354 410. And that's 73 from Al, VK7 Alpha Nancy. And you are listening to VK7 Whiskey India, and this is the VK7 Amateur Radio News Broadcast. And Northern Tasmanian Amateur Radio Club Incorporated. And last technical night, Colin VK7ZCF brought in a pair of aluminium extra hands. Not the alligator clip jaw type. These ones are individual and have single spring clamp jaws mounted on a 50mm pole with a very strong magnetic base. ideal for holding small objects or wires together while soldering or even gluing items. They are very versatile as your work area is only limited by the size of the magnetic sheet that you provide them to attach to. Surprisingly well engineered considering the price and online shop of origin. Hi. Ross VK7ALH gave a short presentation and talked us through a failure of a commercially manufactured power stage printed circuit board that he has been tropicalized. Tropicalization is the process that protects printed circuit boards from moisture corrosion, fungus, and contamination, ensuring reliable operation in hot, humid, and harsh environmental conditions. Imagine a substantial PCB, about 300 millimeters in size, a bank of high-power MOSFETs and a hefty finned aluminium heatsink, and the MOSFETs are mounted vertically on the PCB board and bolted to the side of the heatsink. The heatsink is mounted on a plate through 3mm standoffs. All of the board components, including these devices, are coated with that funny white silicon acrylic conformal coating that protects them. So maybe the one MOSFET that had disgorged its inner contents into the atmosphere had suffered from a catastrophic overload, as its leads were still clearly covered with the protective coating. On removal of the heatsink, which pulls the board off the board far too easily, it became quite obvious what the problem was. During manufacture, they had not directed any sealant under the heatsink before it was mounted. All the MOSFET leads were completely unprotected from the rear, and yes, there was a reasonable build-up of particles and muck behind the exposed legs, which had arced over and destroyed the device. An easy fix for Ross, should he desire, but an excellent example of a production line failing to fully implement a concept and a lack of quality control on an item destined for a harsh environment. Thanks, Ross. For Technical Night this week, we will be delving into the not-so-different world of programming MeshCore. This process is an almost identical to all those units that we've programmed during last year, except they were MeshTastic. Some hardware but different software. Over the last year, the MeshCore software, or probably the human interface, has come ahead leaps and bounds and is pretty decent to work with now. This has probably come about by the massive application interface rewrite by Liam Cottle, ZL2DEV, from New Zealand, and we will program a few clients, mostly on Heltec V3 boards, and demonstrate messaging and routing through routers to local clients around Launceston. If there is time after the MeshCore demonstration, we will demonstrate the club's trial repeater billing system concept. The idea was to apportion repeater time to the originator of each QSO. DMR was certainly an easier platform as it only required sniffing of the registered user ID and the amateur call sign from the Ethernet data stream. This allowed airtime to be logged and totaled for possible billing. The 2-meter RAA FM repeater proved far more challenging. The initial trial of an artificial intelligence voice recognition to extract call signs from the audio stream required way too much data bandwidth from easily confused and was far too clunky in operation. However, due to the new lightweight standalone version of Dragon speech-to-text software for Linux and its ability to happily run on a Raspberry Pi, this opened up a new path for trialing. Dragon can be configured to capture call signs at the start of each carrier-keyed transmission, and since the second call sign is the originator, this gives us enough information to ballpark log airtime for billing, just as with DMR. Trials show the concept works well for DMR and FM, provided the signal-to-noise ratio is reasonable. Missed calls in noisy conditions should be minimal and will probably be ignored for billing purposes. The real bonus came with the inclusion of the Goetzel algorithm software, and yes, the one used for the Morse code decoding. It has given us an added ability to use FFT, or Fast Fourier Transform mathematics to analyze the CTCSS tone purity. Once the 123 Hz tone is fully implemented on RAA repeater, the system will generate a unique tone signature for every transmission. Linked with Dragon call sign capture to text, this allows the matching of each individual radio signature to an operator call sign, and this provides another layer of validation for accurate invoicing. How cool is that? This system should provide a healthy supplement to donations received for the VK7RAA Upgrade Fund. See you at the next Technical Night this Wednesday, which, if you've forgotten, falls on April the 1st. As usual, pictures will be available on the NTARC website under blogs for this broadcast and up-and-coming events on air test and technical net night. Every Wednesday, testnet and CW course on 3.58 MHz from 7 p.m. Then a technical net on 3.567 MHz from 7:30 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. And your host for the evening is Nick VK7 Whiskey Whiskey. And Club Room's Technical Night. The next session will be this Wednesday, the 1st of April, and will commence at the usual time of 6:30 p.m. at the Club Room's Archer Street, Rochalie. No coffee morning next Friday, the 3rd of April. It is Easter Good Friday public holiday. Finally, if you have any items of news, please email them to the secretary at the following address, news@ntark.net, and all items to be received no later than 5 p.m. on Friday prior to the broadcast. That's all, folks. 73 from Stefan, VK7ZSB, the Secretary of NTARC, Inc. And news from the South, the Radio and Electronics Association of Southern Tasmania, April Forum Night, Club Members AR3D Printing. Well, April is 3D Printing and Amateur Radio Month at REAST. We're flipping the usual order and swapping the presentation and forum nights so members can actually show off their creations. Yes, this is your cue. This Wednesday night, bring the brackets, bring the enclosures, bring the antenna mounts that only just survived the last soda activation, bring the clever shack fix and that solved the problem no one ever noticed, but you absolutely could not ignore or live without. And before you start getting suspicious, no, this isn't an April Fool's prank. We genuinely want to see your amateur radio-related 3D print projects. From humble lumps of filament to beautifully engineered pieces of RF-adjacent brilliance. Take us on the journey. Show us the experiments, the failures, I'll just tweak that Z-axis offset one more time, moments, and the final masterpiece that somehow works better than it had any right to. Wednesday, 1st of April 2026, from 7:30 p.m. in the club rooms and streamed. See you there from the REAST committee. And our April presentation night is Spectacular 3D Printing. Praj VK4MPB7MPB has been building 3D printers since 2011. Back when you didn't print a file, you nervously injected raw G-code into what was essentially a heated toaster that had ambitions of becoming a replicator. Slices were cryptic and confrontational bits of software. Firmware updates required emotional resilience, and bed leveling was practically a sacred ritual involving tiny hex keys, deep breathing, and intense philosophical debate about 0.2 millimeters of Z offset. A good first layer wasn't expected. It was negotiated and sometimes aggressively. Praj's printers still live in the garage where they have evolved from temperamental science experiments that occasionally produced abstract art or spectacular nests of plastic spaghetti into surprisingly competent little manufacturing units. While he was chasing the mythical perfect first layer and cleaning lumps of molten filament off nozzles, additive manufacturing quietly matured. The same core principles behind those early DIY machines now produce surgical implants with bone growth lattices, aerospace components with internal cooling channels that can't be machined, advanced engineering parts and some spectacular art, all in a mind-boggling array of materials. And yes, it turns out the same technology responsible for heroic prints and catastrophic spaghetti is also brilliant for us radio amateurs. From portable HF to soda pota gear, to clever shack fixes, to RF experiments that genuinely move a nano VNA trace in ways that only make me more curious, 3D printing has become a real engineering tool. Praj will be sharing some of the practical, creative, and genuinely cool things you can do with it today. In everyday life, in serious engineering and in amateur radio, along with a few demonstrations to prove it's not just enthusiasm for melting plastic. Expect nostalgia, curiosity, a bit of garage-born instability, and an unshakable belief that if I just level the print bed one more time, this time it'll be absolutely perfect. Truth. When 8th of April 2026 from 7:30 p.m. in the club rooms and streamed. See you there from the Reist Committee. And you are listening to VK7 Whiskey India, and this is the VK7 Amateur Radio News Broadcast. And the Wednesday Experimenters Group, the WEGs. Well, last Wednesday saw an eclectic mix of items and stories, and we started with a look at the John Moyle Memorial Field Day with Richard, VK7ZBX, and Murray, VK7ZMS. The general feeling is that rules changes may make the contest less attractive to participants, especially in the VHF and above contesters. We then moved to show some APRS over LoRa Helltech trackers on 433 MHz that Hayden, VK7HH, is experimenting with. The LoRa protocol has some real advantages over traditional APRS. We showed off some new MeshCore handheld devices in the ThinkNode M1 from Elecro and the WioTrack L1 Pro from the IoT Store. The audience then got a sneak peek of the next AR magazine cover and ACMA Assist Portal article that features in that magazine. We asked the question, did you work Bouvet Island? And the general feeling was that we were at a bit of a disadvantage in Tassie. However, some VK7s did work them, and online viewer Andy from the UK worked them on three bands. We discussed other de-expeditions that locals have recently worked. We finished off with a space weather report and future events, and we go into recess for 3 weeks, so see you back in the studio on the 15th of April. 73 from yours truly, Justin, VK7TW. And our May presentation, Technorama and Tour. What is Technorama, I hear you ask? Well, the vision for Technorama is that it becomes the focal point which brings technologists together and supports their efforts. And the objects of Technorama are to further the education and development of technologists within community broadcasting and to provide opportunities for interaction, to conduct conferences, seminars and events in the support of these aims, and to engage in any other activity, real or virtual, in support of these aims. What does this have to do with amateur radio? And I'm glad you asked. Well, the skill set of technologists in community radio sector is a mix of IT and RF engineering. Guess what? It matches the skill set of amateur radio operators really well. We are gathering for the night at the Howrah Community Centre for a short presentation on Technorama by John Mazels, VK4APM, via Zoom. Then we will be taken on a guided tour through the brand spanking new Hobart FM radio community radio station by community radio engineering guru Jim Parrish. This should be a fascinating night showcasing community radio technology and support. Wednesday the 6th of May at the Howrah Community Centre at 11 Howrah Road, Howrah, and park in the southern car park, which is the one closest the river, and we start at 7 p.m. There is nothing at the Queen's Domain Club Rooms that night. See you for there for a fascinating night, 73 from the Reese Committee. And technology news. How did TVs become so cheap? Well, televisions didn't just get cheaper, they got absurdly cheaper. The article points out that prices have fallen by over 90% per unit of screen quality. So that's size by resolution, meaning that you are now paying a fraction of what people paid in the early 2000s for something vastly better. The core story is the rise of LCD technology, and what started as a niche, expensive display type became the global standard, going from about 5% of the market in 2004 to over 95% of the market in 2018. Once that transition happened, TVs stopped being exotic electronics and became just another mass-produced commodity. The real driver, though, is brutal industrial efficiency. Manufacturers figured out how to produce panels at scale using giant mother glass sheets, automated factories, and highly optimized supply chains. That's industrialization on steroids, not some cute incremental improvement. Costs dropped further as the components were standardized, design simplified, and production shifted to regions with massive manufacturing capacity. Essentially, every trick in the make stuff cheaper playbook got applied at once, which is why TVs stand out compared to things like healthcare or housing that stubbornly refuses to cooperate. Finally, the market itself pushed prices into the floor. Intense competition between global brands forced margins down, whilst newer business models made TVs less about profit up front and more about what comes after. Smart TVs now generate revenue through ads, data collection, and platform ecosystems, meaning manufacturers can afford to sell the hardware cheaply and make money later. So the punchline is this: TVs didn't get cheap because companies felt generous. They got cheap because technology matured, factories became ruthlessly efficient, and the business model quietly shifted to making money off you after you plug the thing in. And that was sourced from the interwebs and summarised by Arthur Inglis. VK7 events, VK7, 29th of March today. Meet the Voice Barbecue from 11 a.m. at Ross, Reest 1st of April, AR3D Printing Forum Night, Queen's Domain Clubrooms, and streamed from 7:30 p.m. Reest April the 8th, Spectacular 3D Printing Presentation with Praj, VK7 MPB. NWT ARC, 11th of April, Club Meeting from 1:30 p.m. at Scout Hall, 73 Alexandra Road, Ulverston. And worldwide, the 18th of April, the IARU World Amateur Radio Day. Reest the 6th of May, Technorama presentation and tour of Hobart FM Community Radio Station, starting at the Howrah Community Centre. VK, the 7th of 8th of November, the Tassie Hamicon Amateur Radio Conference, UTAS, Sandy Bay. And a reminder to those people rostered for next week's broadcast: newsreader VK7ZIR, repeaters Reest NTARC, and in the Northwest, thanks to NWTARC, WCRG, NWCRRA, VK7AX, JH, and DC. 160 metres VK7GS, 80 metres VK7DG, 40 metres VK7ALH, 20 metres VK7TW, 10 metres VK7JGD, UHF-CB24 and HF-CB24, VK7FMAC, DMR Talk Group 5 and the D-Star Reflector 91C from the Digital Group. And a big thank you to everyone who contributed to and supported this week's broadcast of the VK7 Amateur Radio News. That's it for this week. You have missed the live transmission. Remember, you can always catch the rebroadcast Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on VK7RAA in the north, VK7RHT and UHF-CB24 and HF-CB24 in the south. Got news, stories or updates to share? We'd love to hear from you, so send them to vk7arnews@gmail.com by Friday 9 p.m. You can also join the conversation on our VK7 Amateur Radio News groups.io page. Stay tuned now for callbacks on this frequency, with each relay station using their own call sign. On behalf of the VK7 News team, this is Justin, VK7, Tangled Whiskers, wishing you good DX and a great week ahead.